teaching for tomorrow in the climate of today. Inspiring educators globally. Never stop learning. Never stop growing. The best teachers teach from the heart. Welcome to Powerful Pedagogy. Hello, 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 and welcome to the first episode of the second season of The Powerful Pedagogy. I am beyond excited to have with me today the founder, the CEO, the brainchild, the mother of it all, Sally Hoy. Hello, hello, hello.
Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps head to toe. I'm so moved and inspired to be here because the first season, I'm still not over it. It was so good. So
powerful. Oh, we had such powerful guests. Yeah.
So powerful. And I just love the way you bring such diversity of conversation and topics. You know, like we're talking about, you know, children on electronics. We're talking about so many things. And I think that who you are in it is astonishing.
Thank you so much. Like, I too, I'm like, there's some really great just people, you know. Well, get ready for season two, because we also have some dynamic thinkers and just, you know, people who are at the cutting edge of education and can really offer inspiration to teachers. And, you know, when I say inspiration to teachers, like, Sally, that is you. Like, Sally is the founder and owner of, obviously, Fairy Dust Teaching, and also now Wonderled, which we're going to get into. But, you know, a little bit about her journey, which she will talk about more, is just after 20 plus years of successfully teaching, she's actually committed right now to doing what she loves most, which is inspiring teachers. Right, Sally?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you know, it's so interesting. I never in my wildest dreams, like I couldn't even imagine that I would be sitting here with this global company, you know, like unfathomable that I'd be sitting here. And also inspiring because it means anyone can do it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yes, but I think the thing that I have found sets you apart is the consistency. You're not just doing this to, you know, I think some people do, you know, they have a great idea, you know, and then people who have even, you know, used your ideas, but there's something about why you have longevity. It's you're so authentic in what you want to do and in who you are. And I think that's what shows through globally.
Thank you. Well, so and I you. Will say that, you know, Fairy Dust Teaching / Wonderled is not about me. And it's why it's not called Sally.com, you know, although that might be nice. It's it's really about this need in the industry for educators. I think what children need most is our authentic self.
Absolutely.
And that this journey has been about the children. And, you know, I have said from day one, there is no competition in the business I am in, because we're all, anyone who goes into the business of serving play-based educators or educators to become play-based are my allies.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so it's a different, it's like no other business on the planet, because we're, you know, I'm holding hands with the globe, walking towards this place that, and I'll tell you the real truth of who I am. I believe I, you know, was raised by a very activist father, and I believe change on the planet, you know, the move towards conflict resolution among countries, the fights that we see, the wars that we see, the breakdowns of equity, it all sits in early childhood. We have an opportunity to change the world. So we are some of the most important people on the effing planet.
I agree.
And that's like, I will be standing here with or without a business. The business is a side point.
I know that's true. And you've even said, like, to you, like, education is really like, it's this living thing, you know? It is. And there is no sort of one size fits all, right? It's sort of like this. It's a practice that really requires, you know, just the intentionality and you to show up as your authentic self and heart.
And heart. Well, and you know, it's like when I went to art school, I was first an artist. And I remember Professor Manhart was my professor at the University of Tulsa. He's since passed, but he was the most extraordinary professor. And I remember trying to throw on the wheel and doing castings. And the worst part was, you know, mixing up glazes with all of these formulas, you know, it's like, wow, you know, am I going to blow something up? But, you know, the thing that he really taught me was who I'm being as I approach the clay shows up in the clay. Wow. That you cannot separate who you're being from the work you're doing, and you can see it. You know, so I got so clearly when I walked into the classroom and there was complete chaos. The first place to look was not at the children. It was me. Yeah. Like, who am I being that there's chaos here? And who can I be as this relationship to the children? What's called for? So if I'm pressing on the clay on the potter's wheel too hard, it's going to break and the clay's going to fly off the wheel. If I'm walking in with too much domination and too much need for quiet, you know, it's going to feed the children's need for speaking and yelling, you know, or whatever. I have to look at what's needed in the moment as this living, breathing art form called teaching.
Wow, I just got chills. That is so powerful. Just think about that statement. You cannot separate who you are being from what you are doing.
Yeah.
That is...
And this is education. Yeah. And this is my new obsession is that education is identity work.
It is. It forces us to own our biases. It forces us to look within. It even forces us to sort of deal with our own inner child. If you're a teacher and you teach children, there's a lot that comes up in the classroom, a lot of emotions that come up that sort of speak to who we are as human beings, right? And so it really does force you to sort of look within. You're absolutely right on that.
1,000%. And, you know, I know for myself that being in the classroom and coming up against, like I remember Head Start was probably one of the toughest 4 years of my career and also the most fruitful in that I was placed in two different settings that really served children in poverty. And one particular one, I had several children who were homeless. And, you know, you wanted, you know, and I was in my 40s and I wanted to change the world. You know, I was like, I wanted to make a difference. And what I really got was the place to make a difference is to begin to, as you so powerfully said, manage me, you know, my inner child, because sometimes, you know, we put our own trauma on others and that's not their trauma. It's my trauma that I have to deal with. And I really got to separate that and look at it and then relate to, like, I was relating to the first year in, I was relating to parents as, oh, you poor things, you know, you're in poverty. And, you know, really coming from a horrific perspective. And what I got was they were as committed to their children as I was to mine.
Amazing.
And that while I have experienced not having money, and they may be in a position of needing assistance. That was the only difference. And I mean, it's astonishing. I've worked with meth addict mothers and fathers who were deeply committed to their children and who did not want what they had been through and how responsive they were. And so I really got that I can become an instrument for the child and advocating for the child to the family and giving them the, which is the goal of Head Start, right? Giving them the tools that they, from that point on, can be their child's greatest ally.
Wow. Yeah.
That's huge. I sleep deeply at night for that work.
It's huge that, you know, and there's not many people that can say that, right? I mean, I teach, you know, in a school that, you know, I have not dealt with, you know, meth addicted parents. Like, you know, so, I mean, just, you have an amazing story. You have an amazing journey as an educator. And I would love for you to share a little bit just about your journey. I know you were in the education field for over 20 years, but just sort of what led you to fairy dust that now has led you to Wonderled?
What's really interesting is it all began really with my own son and how the school system failed him. And long story short, he was not doing well in kindergarten. And I got called in to visit with his teacher, and he was falling out of his seat, not working on the computer, not paying attention, not staying in the lines. Like, you know, in her perspective, he was still like a 3 or 4 year old, and she couldn't possibly send him on to first grade. And I knew my son was remarkable. And so at that point, I got really interested in education. I read John Holt, you know, I started reading The Rebels. I started, you know, really digging into what should I be concerned about here? And one of the things that came out in my research was that a child's oral language, their ability to articulate their own ideas and theories, as we would say now, indicates, you know, their literacy, you know, the foundation of their literacy development. And he was so articulate, like off the charts. His vocabulary was off the charts. So I knew there wasn't a concern. So I took up being his ally. He did not read till third grade. And I was not worried because of the studies I had done. The school system was, but I was not. He graduated number 2 in his high school class. You know, he is brilliant. He's brilliant. But it really hooked me in how many children are being shamed and given an identity of not enough because they're not on the timetable that the institution has established. I'm an auditory dyslexic. I did not do well in school. I didn't do well until college when I was blown away that my opinion mattered. You know, it was the first time that, like, if you give me an essay of my opinion, you know, I get A's, like, but multiple choice with words that all look the same. I can't do it. So, you know, from there, I went into teaching part-time in the 90s, went to a Waldorf training, loved it, really honoring. And I think what I really got in those first years, I remember like yesterday, my first day in the classroom ever. And I remember, you know, there had 18 students, 18 four-year-olds who came in, and they were all, you know, I had all these things that they could do when they arrived, putting their things away and then going to play. And I called them to the carpet. I just called them and they all stopped and looked at me. And this was in 1996, something like that, all stopped and looked at me. And never had I ever experienced that kind of power to gather 18 people at once. And it I had tears rolling down my face because of the respect and honor they gave me immediately. And I had not earned it.
Wow.
I had not earned it. And it was in that moment from the day I started, teaching was a sacred art to me. It was a spiritual path. And that how I treated every child made a difference. There was no child, no matter their behavior, that deserved me bringing nothing but my best. In fact, that first year, and I had no training, right? None. And so I made some errors. And one child,
as we all do, yes.
Right? I accused him of taking a toy from another child. you know, like I just said, I know you did it and blah, blah, blah. You know, I was really inappropriate in my approach. And when I realized I had been wrong, I immediately went to him and got on my knees at his level and asked him to forgive me. And I'll never forget that his grandmother, because he had a mother who had drug issues, and so he was being raised by his grandmother. His grandmother said to me afterwards that he was so moved by it because no adult had ever apologized to him in his entire life. Like he was like, wow, you know, like he felt like somebody that mattered. Yeah. And I think every child deserves that. What if every human being felt like they mattered as a young child?
So true. I apologize to my students all the time when I need to. Like, I am so sorry. I thought that was you. I thought you did that, you know, and I am so sorry, you know? And you're right. Like, just we honor children when we can model and take accountability, right, for our actions. So that was the teaching. And then how did the teaching turn to this global fairy dust?
Well, I, you know, did the Waldorf training, and I did puppet shows and I did a lot of arts integration with Waldorf style in public school. I've never been in a full-blown play-based setting, which is really interesting. I have brought play, but not as a institution that says we're play-based. So I had brought all of these, you know, methods and things to my classroom, and it was magical, and I loved it, and I wanted to share it with the world. So I started researching, where can I go and speak at conferences? And I made this big notebook, and I started applying with proposals and then going, and about the third one in, you know, because again, in the 90s, especially, I literally would feed my family on $25 a week. Like I made pasta from scratch because we didn't have money and I was struggling. And so by the 2000, when I started doing this, I had children in college and I had no ability to spend $2,000 to $3,000 to go speak for free.
Yeah.
And so I gave up. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't have the money. I'm going to go broke. I'm going to end up, you know, on the street speaking to the world about
right,
early childhood.
Right.
So right. I just gave it up. It was like 2005. I just gave it up. And I would do local things, but I didn't attempt it. And then in 2008, I took an online course called Unraveling. And it was about photography and self-reflection from this woman in London who I still follow, just beautiful individual. When I took it, I went into it and there was all these people from around the world taking pictures of themselves, reflecting on their lives and themselves. And we were all doing it online. And I was like, holy Moses, this is amazing. So I thought, okay, I'm going to start a blog and do the same thing. And so I started A Sprinkling of Sally. And then I started this. I probably did 5 blogs before I hit it. And finally in 2010, about my 5th attempt, I started Fairy Dust Teaching. And I did it specifically to build an audience for sharing my passion. And in 2011, around May, I put out my first offer. And I had for $25 and 127 people responded and it was born,
wow.
You know? Yeah.
Wow.
And I get it even back that day, it was all typed. I still have a copy of that course and it was called, if you can imagine, it was called A Dash of Wonder.
Of course.
At least way back
yes.
then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of
and
course.
So, what's interesting is, you know, coming from a perspective of transforming the planet, transforming how we treat young children. And, you know I found you because you share that passion with Reggie Amelia approach and how they really showed us the way of these are full human beings now. Like
exactly.
Like
and their rights
oh my gosh.
Matter, right? Their rights matter.
Yes.
And even just you know, there's something about bringing ourselves, just showing up 100% in our classrooms or just to this work, like wherever you are, you know, whatever you're doing, but showing up 100%. So yes, I feel like, you know, when we met, it was definitely like kindred souls.
Yes, because that's who you are in the classroom. I mean, I would have to say of any presenter on our conferences or summits, you always, I can count on you for bringing that life-changing perspective that people don't get over because you bring yourself fully to what you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's astonishing.
Thank you. And I remember, if I can just share really quick. So I think not the last one, but I think the second to last summit we did, it was right when, you know, COVID was sort of in full swing. And I remember I shared what that was like for me. And I shared about, you know, just sort of my experiences. And I remember one person was like, you know, like, why do we have to hear about, you know, the bodies outside her window? Like, I thought this was going to be about like play-based and teaching. And I, you know, and I remember like reaching out, like, with all due respect, this was teaching this year. This year, this was teaching.
Exactly.
This year, we still showed up 100%. However, this was teaching. People were dealing with a lot and still giving their all. And I think one of the things I appreciate about you most is just allowing for that, right? Allowing for those opinions or just those people who think outside the box and want to share a difference of opinion. Like you're great for sort of really compiling a bunch of thought tanks in your seminars and in the conferences. So yeah, it's definitely been an honor.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that's really important to me is I don't want to gather people who all agree and have the same perspective. Like, that's not real. You know, like, that we will have disagreements with each other, that there are perspectives among play-based or Reggio Emilia-inspired that yes. conflict with each other is real life. Like, that's, you know, it's like going to Europe. I don't want to see McDonald's on the corner.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I don't want to see people who are mini Sallys or mini Lynettes. I want to see the real person in front of me and who feels safe enough not to be shamed for speaking their truth. And, you know, I've had a couple of experiences recently online where, you know, I've been a little shocked at how quickly people will, you know, like a couple of people really came after me for a post I made. And I thought, these are not my people.
Yeah.
You know, like if you get mean, you're not my person because right. I will accept your different opinion, but I want to do it respectfully. Absolutely. You know, I want to say, and I want to hear you, but I can't hear you if you're attacking me.
Right. Same thing we teach in the classroom.
Yeah, like, you know, exactly. There has to be,
like, if it's a conversation, then there has to be active listening and receptiveness just on both sides, right? But yeah, it's been amazing. So now we have something, you're doing something even more, just sort of, I don't even know what the word is, just breaking out, really breaking out of the box. And we now have Wonderled. Yes. Wonderled.com. Check it out. Will you tell us a little bit about what led to Wonderled?
Well, you know, fairy dust teaching has always gotten a little flack. Well, one is I haven't really done much blogging on fairy dust in years. And so people just, you know, I remember going to Amsterdam to do a training and a woman walked up to me afterwards and she goes, I was against bringing you because when I looked at fairy dust, I wanted no part of it. She goes, but now that I've met you and seen you in action, I'm really glad that you're here. She really loved it. And I just think, you know, I just felt like I have evolved past it. My identity is no longer fairy dust. And when I look at it, you know, I began it as an arts integrationist. It has Reggio Emilia inspiration in it, but really Reggio Emilia approach doesn't like when you use Reggio you know, the term Reggio, because that's their right.
It is
that's their work, right?
And we can be inspired, but we can never reproduce it.
Never. And so I just really lots of feelings around it. I wanted to start fresh. So I was in the middle of the pandemic in Paris. I woke up one night with an image of Wonderland. Like it literally came to me in a dream, which sounds like so.
No, it doesn't. Not to me, it doesn't.
And what it was I was holding a magazine in my dream, and it said Wonderland, and it had children on the front. And so, of course, you know, at some point I'll produce a magazine. But I created Wonderland to really be, and we're still, you know, it's just going to take a couple of years to get it fully robust. But I wanted to be that place where people can get what they need, no matter where they are in the process. And that's, you know, why I asked you to be our podcast, you know, is that some people need to get that through audio. Some want to read it. And so it's just, and the other thing is I'm really committed that Wonderland is a collection of voices. It's not just mine. And so we actually have a play post that features thought leaders from around the world.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. So I know you have a play post, there are courses, but there's a journal, there's a play library on Wonderland. Your favorite thing that you've sort of been doing recently is the how-to. So I know you were like experimenting with like how to make Play-Doh. I'm going to make Play-Doh today, friends. Like,
well, we're going to go onto YouTube. Yes. So YouTube's happening next, where you'll actually see me demonstrate. I tested it in our play summit, and it was a blowout success.
I love it.
I think, you know, we did really well on that summit, and I think it was people wanted access to those videos. You know, and so, you know, and again, I consider what we're doing always an experiment. Is this what will serve our following? And I want to honor my following. I consider it as sacred a path as working with children. Educators deserve respect. They deserve to have support. And so, you know, I'm going to watch Google Analytics and see what's serving.
You know? Exactly. Another thing you said, remember when you said like you just felt like, especially right now, teachers want something tangible, right? Tactile. Yeah. Like teach me how to do it. Like don't just tell me a bunch of like great things to do. Like actually show me sort of the steps and how to sort of do it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important because, I think the trauma of the pandemic, we're still not over. We've had a mass exodus out of the industry. We're not paid living wages. We have more work than ever, you know, and I really got clear that I need to be that support. I need to be that I got you in my back pocket. You know, that's why we have the play invitation library on Wonderland. You need ideas. Here we go. We're developing investigation packs now, and we'll continue to do that. I have a full-time content creator who does nothing but create, you know, investigation packs because people need that now. When you're stressed, that's when you're like, okay, I need help. I don't know what to, you know, if you have anything going on at home, the idea of what do I do walking in? And there's no shame in getting support, you know? And one of the things that Sarah, the content creator, is doing that I absolutely love is what will lead up to this invitation. So what are the children? So you can even check, are the children, are they showing interest for this activity? And here are some markers I can look for so that we're honoring children at the same time.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
It is extremely cool. And, you know, again, I am so excited to be doing this podcast. And actually this season, you know, you talked about this mass exodus that has occurred. This season, I actually have a teacher who loved and adored teaching, but did decide to leave. And so I'm looking forward to interviewing them too. Just again, like you said, it's just about hearing perspective and just, you know, hearing about like the new journey that they've taken, which still sort of involves teaching, but it's just sort of not in the institutional sort of mind frame that we've all thought. And I think, again, just knowing you, Sally, like you always encourage people to think outside the box and to show up as their authentic self. And I think, you know, not only do you encourage people, but you also model it. And, you know, we thank you for that. We thank you for that.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. No, I just, I feel so blessed to have people like you in my life to help realize, you know, and for anyone listening, I have been begging for Lynette to come onto my team to play with me, but she has an amazing, a job she loves. Yes, and, yes. You know, and it clearly when you talk about your work and your work with the children that you love what you do. And I am so excited that you said yes to the podcast.
I know. I really do. You know, and I think about it, like teaching is so good for my soul. Like, you know, I know everybody has like their it reason. For me, it's so good for my soul. Like even today, I'll share a quick story. Even today, I have this student and they don't really like to like, it's been like one aversion after another aversion. Anytime I say something to this child, they literally sort of like turn their back, like don't want to engage. So if I ask like, hey, you know, would you like to do a collage, you know, that no. And they're constantly saying, you know, I only maybe do this at home. Like there's definitely some aversions going on. Right. And so, you know, we've just, you know, I have assistant teachers. We've just been trying with like strategy after strategy. So one of our new strategies is literally just to sort of call them like they've won on The Price is Right. Like, guess what? It is your turn to do woodworking. Come on over. And for some crazy reason, it's actually working. Like you can see, like they're grumbling. I love that they grumble. They grumble. Oh, I love a good grumbler. Like under their breath, they're like, you know, I didn't want to do woodwork. I just, you know, like there's a grumbling, but they come. And so again, like we will continue to sort of get to know each other and just sort of come up with strategies. But I'm like, these are the aha moments that make me love teaching. You know, we tried, it's what, December? We've been working on this friend since like September, trying to like, okay, what's going to make them click? And what are they, you know? And so I do. I love this job. And I know you can say the same. Like our children are our most amazing resource, you know, and they amazing. Are our future.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, I love that. You know, there's always that child that, you know, it takes, like you said, the out of a box approach.
Yeah.
You know, and to lean into that child and to be willing to experiment. And I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, whatever we do in life, that we bring, as you said, our full presence, our full self, and we play.
Absolutely.
And we just play.
We just play all day. Well, Sally, thank you so much for joining us on The Powerful Pedagogy. And to all of you listening, may you stay inspired and may you continue to show up as your authentic self. Thank you. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Powerful.